Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show. Show.
Hello. Welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. You all know me. I'm your host for this podcast, Bruce Marable, CEO and co-founder of Employee Cycle. And we are an HR analytics dashboard, helping you better view, track, analyze, and share all your most important HR data from all your different HR systems in one real-time, beautiful HR dashboard. But that's enough about me, because we have a very special guest on the podcast. And today, our topic is all about how to get your HR systems to work together. I'm sure there's a lot of HR people out there that can relate to that issue. So without further ado, please help me welcome to the podcast, Ward Chrisman, Chief Advisor for HR Tech Advisor. Ward, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, let me clap too. Why not? Get it going.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. Oh. Yeah, great stuff.
Oh, thank you for being here to share your wisdom in this space, in this topic. Really appreciate it. So, Ward, you've listened to this podcast before, so you know we always like to kick things off with, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah, well, luckily, this goes back into the 80s. I'll give you an idea how old I am. But my wife, this was before kids, she ran a temp agency. And I was doing engineering, building nuclear power plants and plutonium factories and, you know, boring stuff. And I liked what she was doing. I'm like, hey, this is pretty interesting. I wonder if there's a way to help people connect and find jobs and employers find resumes and people and all that stuff. And decided to start a business back in the early 90s and launched an online system before the internet was commercialized. And 27 years later, it's been quite a ride.
Got it. Your title is Chief Advisor for HR Tech Advisor. So if you can give our audience a brief summary about what does HR Tech Advisor do, that would be awesome.
Yeah. HR Tech Advisor is an advisory firm, and we work specifically with the HR Tech vendors. We help the vendor executives accomplish the important things like, do we build, buy, or partner? And they mostly think of that every day and try to figure out how they're going to improve things for their customers and get more market share, more revenue, all those good things. So we help them figure out the best way to do that. We do focus heavily on partnerships. And one of the, when I launched the company, this was like 5 years ago, this is my, I think, fifth company I've helped launch or co-launch. And I started helping or tried to help the HR practitioners figure out which systems to buy and had some different tools to help with that, and quickly realized, as I kind of suspected, but they didn't want to pay for help. So that made for a bad business model. You know, the bigger companies perhaps would, you know, spend lots of money with the Deloittes and Accentures and so forth. But the small and mid-sized companies, they either couldn't afford it or they thought they could figure it out on their own. So quickly pivoted to help advise the vendors and the executives, again, help them figure out, should they build these solutions? Should they perhaps buy or get investment? Or should they partner and go to market together with others? So that's what we focus on, and that's what we've been doing.
Great. And thanks for that background. So our topic today is how to get your HR systems to work together. And I'm assuming that you wanted to talk about this because today it doesn't seem like most HR systems are doing a good job working together. Is that a pretty good assumption?
Yeah, it's all over the map. And my guess, if you ask your average listener, if they're a small or mid-sized company, they've probably got 5 or 6 HR systems, if you ask them. And then as they dig and they look around, they probably have 10 or 20, if you count spreadsheets and Google Docs and all those things that they use to piece together what they need to accomplish, you know, in HR. And even if they say, well, we've got these 4 systems and, you know, one of them's ADP, for example, chances are they're using a number of different tools that ADP has from partner solutions, and sometimes they don't even know it. So if these systems don't work together in a way that is supporting the HR department in their needs. Just like a good dashboard, right? If you don't have the right metrics in front of you, you're not going to know what's going on. And, you know, so it can be a terrible mess and a lot of finger pointing, or it could be, pretty good and harmonious. And of course, you know, our mission is to help the vendors connect and collaborate and do a better job of delivering solutions to the market, to their buyers, and help them figure out the best combinations, the best recipes for their customers. And it's not easy, but it's exciting, it's fun, and it's quite rewarding, because at the end of the day, the HR practitioners, they just want their stuff to work. They don't want to have to hassle with it. They don't have to beat up on the vendors, you know, get people blaming each other. They just want it to work and work well, right?
Great. We have a wide range of HR leaders listening to the podcast, from professionals who have just switched over to HR and this is their first HR job, to HR veterans that know everything there is to know about HR. So just to level set, so we're all having the same conversation, what are the biggest categories or major categories of HR systems that companies typically have? And then from there, we can talk about why it's even important for them to work together in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good question. Short answers, depends who you ask. I mean, some will say that payroll is not even in HR. Then, oh, that's finance. It's like, okay, I don't buy that. But, you know, so I think, you know, we have seven top categories that we keep tabs of in our database. We're tracking about 45,000 HR tech companies, most in North America and Europe, and then some in Asia and Asia Pac and other areas. And that's a lot. And, you know, to try to quantify and classify them at the high level, you've got, you know, seven, which would be your benefits and payroll and talent acquisition, talent management. And then there's also go-to-market services. So you've got different players that we also keep tabs on, such as the consulting companies and system implementation groups that help deliver these solutions or even maintain them. And then you also have the service groups like recruiting, staffing companies, RPOs, and so forth. So again, depends how you want to slice and dice it. In our view, it takes, you know, a whole, I guess you'd say army or, you know, village to run HR if you really kind of look at everybody that's got a role and a part in it. And of course, there's the employees and managers too that leverage these tools. So in theory, they're kind of part of the team as well. So it's, I don't know if that's the clear, concise answer you want in terms of what categories they are, but even within those top seven categories, we're tracking, I think, 128 subcategories. So it's, there's a lot going on and a lot to keep tabs on.
Great. And then the second part of that question was, why is it important for these systems to work together in the first place?
Well, the important part is that, again, HR doesn't need the hassles of things that don't talk to each other, data doesn't flow, you know, so that's important. And, you know, there's a cost element too, right? And time savings. If the systems aren't working together and talking to each other, you know, for example, a recruiting platform doesn't automatically transport the new hire data over to payroll or to the benefits module and things like that, then you have to rekey it. There could be errors. There's lots of disadvantages if they don't work together. If they work together well, or you have a fairly comprehensive, you know, suite from a single vendor, for example, it shouldn't even be noticeable. And some people listening may go, our vendors work together fine. We only have one. And again, I think the reality is that there's many players behind the scenes and they may not even realize it. But the systems and the players need to work together well, so the customer can spend less time, you know, playing referee or trying to get answers when the individual vendors aren't communicating with each other, either at a data level or a deal level, where they're, you know, maybe need to work together to keep the customer happy, you know, that kind of thing. So it can be quite a challenge, especially for the single HR roles where they've got to juggle so many things and wear so many hats, right? And then to have to keep tabs on all these different vendors and figure out who's doing what and when and, you know, who dropped the ball and all that, it can be quite a job on its own.
So as the HR or people leader in the middle of all these different HR systems, how do I go about making sure that all of my HR systems are working together in the ways that they can and should work together? And what type of things should I be looking from my vendors to provide me to even make me think broader about how they can work together from ways that I didn't even know that they could do it or that or how they should work together in the first place?
Right. Well, and you know, the reality is most companies will work in firefighter mode, right? So if there's an issue, that's when they start thinking about that question. So it's, you know, it's great that you ask now to try to be a little more proactive. And I think one of the things that you need to look at if you're looking to add capabilities like technology, for example, HR tech, I'd recommend you start with your existing providers. First, ask them, do you have this? It's shocking over the past 20 some years, how many of the customers that were, you know, in the family of for the companies I was working with, they didn't even know what products they already owned and perhaps are already paying for. And, you know, and then in talking with them, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to go get this like employee referral module, right? And it's like, well, wait a minute, did you know we had that already and you already are paying for it? And they're like, no. So, you know, so the first thing to ask is, what do we have? You know, do an inventory and also, you know, measure your vendors. And, you know, if there's certain areas where you should probably be able to tell which ones you feel are providing good service and reliable technology that's easy to use. And then, you know, keep them honest and score them and, you know, have quarterly business reviews, even the smaller vendors, because frankly, they want and need the advice or the feedback from you. So that's the first thing to do. Inventory what you got and score them, you know, keep them on their toes. Let them know they're being, you know, evaluated on an ongoing basis. They should know that already. But the worst thing being having been on the vendor side for many years is, you know, getting that call or email, hey, we're leaving, we're going to go with another system. Thanks, but we're out of here. And it's like, wait a minute, how'd that happen, right? So that's what, you know, I definitely recommend starting with that. And also then if, again, you're looking for something you don't think or if you do a good job, you know you don't already have, ask your current vendors, okay, we're looking for chatbot for our employees to get answers or whatever. Ask them, do they have it? Are they building it? Or do they have a partner that they recommend can offer it? And the reason you want to do that instead of just going out on your own and finding the first shiny object is because if they recommend somebody first, there's a good chance they've done some vetting for you, so you don't have to do that. Second, there's a good chance that they have perhaps integrated it, and then there'll be less headaches getting it up and running and using it. And thirdly, then they also have a little stake in it. So if they make the referral, there may or may not be a financial reward for that. But again, their reputation might be on the line. Hey, if I'm telling a customer to try this solution they're looking for, then they're going to have some oversight and hopefully support some of that success that you're wanting from that solution. And, you know, that's nothing beats a referral. And you know, the vendors love when they can refer their partners into a deal. So, you know, keep that in mind. And that's my recommendation. Is that kind of what you're looking for, Bruce?
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting because as I'm listening to you speak, it almost seems like the most important thing about figuring out how your system should work together is really starting from the beginning and selecting the right vendor in the first place.
Sure. Yeah. And that's hard because, you know, if you're small and you don't have much budget or time or expertise to even consider switching if you want, or if you're brought into a role, chances are the company already has contracts and, you know, things in place. So you can start looking at changing things. And to your point, you know, if you are a larger company or you're, you know, growing quickly and you want to look at maybe some more modern or more comprehensive type suites and so forth, you don't want to do that alone. You really want to work with the vendors. Again, if you have a few favorites you like, ask them, you know, for recommendations. Or if you're big enough where you can afford to hire a consulting firm or a system integrator type that will help do some selection work for you, then the first thing you should do really is go to a site that reviews those vendors. There's a newer one out there called Raven Intel, and they review and score the consulting companies and system integrators that implement. Currently, they're doing, I think, the top 5 or 6 of the larger vendors like the Workdays and so forth. But I think over time, as they grow, you'll see that they're going to be reviewing the consulting companies that implement all kinds of different systems. And yeah, take take their, because they're basically crowdsourcing customer feedback and can save you a lot of due diligence up front. And what, you know, one vendor might do a great job for, you know, a different type of company. You want to find out, you know, who can help you do the best selection or implementation or both for your type of company, your industry, your geography, your needs, your size, your growth, you know, all those, there's a lot of factors and it's easy to make mistakes, right? And again, you know, at the end of the day, I suggest you start with the people you know and trust, hopefully some vendors, because they, frankly, the vendors keep better tabs on what's happening out there in the space than any of the practitioners, because, you know, practitioners are busy doing their jobs and they don't have time to do a lot of research. If you do get to go to some of these shows, like in a couple of weeks, I'll be in Vegas for the Unleash HR Tech Expo. We've been partnering with them for, my goodness, since Paris, when it was HR Tech World, about 4.5 years ago, we launched the first collaboration zone. And that's something that we do for the vendors under our HR Tech Alliances brand. It's a portal that we're building for the vendors to better connect with each other, to discover and create and manage their alliances and partnerships. And if you think of like Employee Cycle as a dashboard that brings everything together in one place, that's our vision for the Alliances portal, HR Tech Alliances, where the vendors can go manage their partners today, measure their partners, find new ones if they need to. Again, the example, the customer says, hey, we need a chatbot or we want employee referral module, whatever. And if they don't have that in their partner network, they'll leverage the portal to find a new one. And then when they do land them, have better visibility on the metrics and the success indicators that show that their partnerships are working for their mutual customers. And if not, you know, there are ways to improve that. And that's our job, is to help the ecosystem, again, do a better job of bringing these vendors together so the practitioners don't have to work so darn hard figuring out, to your question originally, you know, what should we go out there and find? And the answer is, you know, get some help and start with the people and companies you're already working with that you know and trust to some level. Yeah.
Over the past few years, there's been a huge transition in trend towards working with a lot of best in breed HR point solutions versus using full suites. So what I mean by that is one system for recruiting, one system for engagement, one system for HRS, et cetera, et cetera. How has that impacted the ability for customers or HR leaders to be able to get all these systems working together? And then how has that impacted the strategy of the vendors to need to work together as companies have moved towards this using best in breed solutions?
Yeah, it's quite a shift, and it's a good one, because at the end of the day, as I mentioned, the average company has at least a dozen different HR systems in place. As much as some of these bigger ones think that they have everything, you look at, I mean, just look at ADP, they have a marketplace with hundreds of solutions available from third parties where they've either, you know, vetted them or integrated with them. And, you know, all the major players, that is their, you know, they have a vibrant ecosystem, and some of them have done quite a great job embracing that. ADP, I know Kerry Morse there, continues to grow the alliance aspect of their business to embrace the ecosystem and bring their customers things they need today. And, you know, if someday down the road they end up building it, that's okay too. And, you know, then those partners will have to go find other partners. But yeah, the point solutions, I remember interviewing Josh Burson in Amsterdam like 4 years ago. I asked him the same thing. I said, you know, where do you see it going? And he said, he sees, and I agreed at the time and continued to agree, that point solutions are going to continue to exponentially grow and proliferate. And the big providers are going to have to embrace that, or they're going to get, I don't know if you're familiar with Kudzu. I lived in Chattanooga for a year before I got married and moved back here to Pennsylvania. But it's a vine that grows, and I forget what country it came from, probably from Asia, but it strangles the trees that it grows on, and eventually they die, and then it goes on to more trees. It's very voracious in that capacity. But to some level, I think, you know, if these big suites can't embrace all these point solutions and empower them to be part of their ecosystem, they will lose deals, because the different types of partnerships that are occurring out there, and as we continue to enable them with our new platform, it gives the practitioners more choices. You know, they never had that in the past. Before, it was, hey, we'd have to just go on the big players and hope that they can deliver what we need.
So I'm sure a lot of HR leaders know what it feels like and looks like to not have your HR systems working together. But what does it look like for this to actually be done successfully? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What do my workflows look like? What kind of ROI should I be feeling to know, yes, this is how all of my systems should be working together, and it doesn't pretty much get any better than this?
You know, I wish I could say I've seen even one case study that really highlights that. I guess, it's the sad truth. But, you know, and that's okay. And I think we need to be comfortable with that. It's kind of like perfectionist. You know, if that's your personality, you may never be happy with your work, right? Because you want it to be perfect. And it's nice to strive to do better. But if you can't be happy with, you know, the results, regardless of how great they are, it's tough, right? So I think the same thing is true with HR tech integration and HR tech collaboration. It can be great, but yeah, I can't say I've seen any kind of perfect thing. Again, some of the vendors, particularly some of the newer ones, won't name names, but you know, we've got everything you need, and it's all integrated on one platform and one database. The reality is, most of them, they have already lots of partners, because they know their customers aren't going to sit around and wait for the next release and hope that what they really want is in it. And there's tens of thousands of HR tech startups that are 5 years or younger globally. It's so easy to start a company these days and build something useful that they're constantly, you know, tugging on the ear of the buyers. And, you know, look at this new shiny object. It's got AI or machine learning, or, you know, it's a bot this, or, you know, all the favorite buzzwords, right? And, you know, it's a siren song. It's tempting. So, you know, what does it look like? I think it looks like evolution and change and being able to adapt. I think the vendors that can, again, adapt most easily and plug and play different solutions from different partners are the ones that are going to win. And the companies that use them are going to be the winners as well.
Got it. So to make this as practical as possible, because we actually like our listeners to leave the podcast with some type of actionable plan, if they are looking to make their process more efficient with all the systems that they have, what are some of the questions or what are some of the blind spots they might have that they're not thinking about, which they can go back, look at their entire HR tech stack and say, all right, based off of what I heard on this podcast, I need to do X, Y, and Z, but I can at least make this more efficient. I know it will never be 100% perfect, but at least I know we're becoming more efficient so that either we don't have to hire another person to manage this process or at least get more done in less time.
Yeah, that's great. I think from a tip standpoint, the best thing you can do is have a good inventory, what you have, and if you don't have them scheduled, shame on the vendors, but schedule quarterly business reviews with all of your providers, both technology and service providers, and make sure that they are telling you both what they have, reminding you what they have today, what's on their roadmap, as much as they can disclose where they're going. And then thirdly, who are their partners? And keep an inventory of that, because again, you know, when your managers or executives come to you and say, oh my goodness, we really need to do this, whatever that is, and then instantly becomes an HR program. Yeah, you don't have to scramble and then get, you know, lose traction with your current programs to put out this fire. If you have, if you're doing this and you have an inventory, even if it's in a Google sheet, you know, of who your vendors are, what they have to offer, who their partners are, you can react more quickly and then turn around to the executive and say, oh, well, one of our current providers already has that module. We just haven't purchased it or haven't turned it on, or it's already there. You dummy. Why don't you, you know, use it? I'll show you how to use it. You know, might want to pick your adjectives carefully, but yeah, so that's, I think, the recommendation that you do that and make sure you get on your calendar those quarterly business reviews with your providers. And, you know, a lot of them will say they'll call their customers partners. We prefer to call the, you know, the vendor-to-vendor relationships partnerships versus typically the vendors, customers, their customer, not their partner. But, you know, strive to make it feel like a partnership where you have that open communication channel. You are aware of what they're doing and what they have. And again, that extended family that they may have, their partners, because they keep, you know, I'm sure Bruce, you've covered this on some of your other podcasts, but it's hard even for the vendors to keep track of who their partners are, what do they have, what's on their roadmap. But if you keep them accountable and make them deliver that on a quarterly basis, it'll be good for them. It'll be great for you. And then you can better manage when things do come up and the systems aren't talking to each other or something breaks or the data is not flowing like you think it should. Then you can ask more intelligently of your providers and say, hey, here's what we're seeing. How can we improve on that? And again, I think they're going to love it because they want to hear that. They want to know where you have a need or an interest and they want to be able to solve it. So you need to step up, do that inventory, get those quarterly meetings going, keep tabs on it and ask for things, ask for what you want. And eventually, yeah, if they can't deliver it, then ask not that vendor maybe, but you know, your other vendors, if they have partners that can do what you need and, you know, go from there.
And then last question for this section, do you think it's going to continue to be more difficult for HR leaders to get their systems to work together as more and more HR systems are being created for very specific areas of HR? Or do you think it will become easier since companies are now being founded and built with the intentions of already knowing that they need to partner with a lot of other companies?
Yeah. Well, again, I think if you pick your providers carefully, those that want to embrace the ecosystem and help, like SAP, for example, is in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago for HR Tech Tank, and SAP.io hosted it. They have a new, in the past couple of years, a new thing called the Foundry, where they help these different startups and younger companies do a couple things, but they go put them through a 3-month program. And in the case of the HCM providers that I got to meet out in San Francisco, yeah, they started with 120 applications that wanted to be in the program, and they got it down to 7. And they went through this 3-month program. And of course, on graduation, they needed to show what they've done. But the key thing was integration, making sure that the data flows well, the user experience flows for the SAP customer. They also, of course, helped these vendors get more connected into their ecosystem with introductions to SAP customers and those kind of things. So fabulous program. I, you know, can certainly condone them and congratulate them for taking these kind of initiatives. And other vendors are starting to do the same with their marketplaces. You know, if you look at the marketplaces and it looks just like a shopping basket and it doesn't add any more value than that, it's not gonna help. You need to know up front, okay, does the data integrate? You know, is the user experience integrated? Is it, you know, how's it working? And, you know, before you dive in and just start adding different modules and expecting that your customer, your internal customer, the employees and managers can, you know, adapt and figure it out, that's a recipe for disaster. So you need to be a little more cautious in your approach in that regard.
Got it. So now we're going to have some fun with the section that I like to call the real, the random, and ridiculous. We'll ask you a real, a random, and a ridiculous question.
I hope so.
You ready? All right. So I know you've heard this podcast before, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. Real question. Do you like bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
Okay. I have heard that question before, and I love almost all kinds of food. So yes, bread pudding is way up there. It's delicious, and I can honestly say I don't know how many different flavors I have. Maybe two or three. So, but one thing I know for sure is it's always better with a big, giant scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. So it's got vanilla ice cream, you know, whether it's banana or raisin, bread pudding, you know. I mean, it's already got a lot of cream in it, right? So it's, you know, why not throw some more on top and make it ice cream?
Got it. Random question. What was the last movie you watched?
Wow, last movie. It was James Bond. Which one? I've been trying to watch the whole series lately. Which one was it? I think it was From Russia with Love.
Got it. Okay. And then the ridiculous question. Since you're working with a lot of HR vendors, trying to get them to partner, and I'm sure that some of them don't want to, and maybe even some of the more legacy companies probably won't want to partner even more so than the newer or more modern companies, I'm curious to know, what are some of the most ridiculous reasons you've heard that companies have told you as to why they don't want to partner with other HR systems?
Yeah, and what I hear particularly from the larger suites is, hey, we have everything. You don't need to go anywhere else. And I usually turn around and say, wow, that's fantastic. Then why do you have 273 partners on your website? Is any of your customers using them, or what's the point? Oh yeah, well, good point. So I've worked for some of the suites before and so forth. So it's, yeah, I mean, the reality is it sounds good to say we've got an end-to-end fully integrated suite, but the reality is the customers aren't using it or relying on that as their only source. It's a panacea that doesn't exist. And to your question earlier, with the enormous number of startups occurring, especially in talent acquisition, that's not going to change anytime soon. And it's going to continue to proliferate. So yeah, it's really about embracing the ecosystem and empowering them. Matter of fact, out in Vegas for Unleash, we're going to have roundtable topics for the vendors actually in the collaboration zone, which is unique and unusual, but we've got the top three exhibitors there, SAP, IBM, and LinkedIn are marquee sponsors, and they're sending their executives to the collaboration zone to answer one main question. How do you partner with SAP or IBM or LinkedIn? And a lot of the companies that aren't already partners, which is most of them, they want to know, you know, what do we do? How do we partner with you and enjoy your customer base and the ecosystem that you've built? So it's great to see them stepping up and making it easier, because if it makes it easier for the vendors, then the practitioner is going to get a better solution and then everybody wins.
Nice. And thanks so much for all the work that you're doing in this space, especially for companies like us who live and breathe off of partnerships. This makes our life a whole lot easier. But Ward, this was an amazing episode. Thanks for dropping so many bombs of wisdom. This was great. I'm sure our HR listeners loved it. So round of applause for Ward. Woo! Thank you. So Ward, where can people find you and your company online?
Yeah, well, start with hrtechadvisor.com. And if you have any vendors that aren't playing nice together in the sandbox, send them our way. We'll see if we can get them into shape for you.
All right. That's great. And that's a call to action for all of you out there listening. So I hope you take them up on that. But all you HR listeners out there, thank you so much for continuing to support the podcast. We would be nothing without you and listening and sharing. We're getting so many people leaving comments and telling us how much they love the podcast. They love the host and they love the format. It's fun. At least I think it's fun. And a couple people have told us it's fun, so hopefully you think it's fun as well. But we just want to greatly appreciate you helping us get to 49 episodes so far, and we can't wait to our next episode being our 50th podcast episode, which is amazing and a huge milestone for us. If you are not an avid listener already and you just happen to stumble upon this episode this time, then please make sure you download Employee Cycle Podcast to whatever podcast listener you have. And if you did like this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so that other people can see how amazing this podcast is as well. So lastly, HR and people ops leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. All right. Thanks again. Later, kids.